Are you ready for the Dallas Cowboys podcast?
Through 45, 40, 30, Dez Bryant tripped up. No, he's still on his feet inside the 20, and he's knocked out of the 17-yard line.
Romo falls for it, gets it, looking near side, lofting end zone for
Bryant. The ball, he's got it for a touchdown. He threw it up in the air, and Bryant leapt up and grabbed it. And the Cowboys, on the opening drive of the 2011 season, have themselves a 6-0 lead.
Throws a sharp pass down the right side for Austin. At the 5, away from the defender, diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Miles Austin.
His third touchdown of this game, Brad.
And stand by. He's got Holly all alone at the 50. Holly to the 40. Holly to the 20. Right to the 15. 10. Dragged down at the 2 as he showed off the ball. It must be a reality show.
Oh, my goodness.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit. You die inside, a portion of you. Not all of your organs, maybe just your liver.
Pain is inevitable.
I like this kind of party. baby.
All right, well, welcome back to America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Bandy. Thanks for joining us. Whoa. Jeez. Cowboys played so bad, even the podcast host is getting booed this week. So, not a good week to be a Cowboys fan. This game was brutal. I've watched it a total of 3 times now, just kind of going back and trying to find out what happened, how we could possibly go in and, you know, never guaranteed a win, but definitely never in a million years thought we'd get blown out of there. Wasn't a good week for the Dallas Cowboys. Not a good week for me as well. I apologize in advance. I'm on the injured reserve this week. Not on the pup list, but the injured reserve. Feeling a little under the weather, so the voice is a little off this weekend. So I apologize for that. The show's going to be a little audio intensive this week. So we're going to have quite a bit of interviews with Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, Rob Ryan. Have some Marcus Spears interview in there as well to kind of make up so you don't have to listen to my scratchy voice. But we're gonna dive into this game, and I've got some I've got my thoughts on what happened and moving on. And I will say this, I wasn't in the closet with my toe on the trigger and the barrel in my mouth yet. And I'm not there yet. I still think that the Cowboys are a pretty good football team. After everything was said and done, if you still look at the standings, it's the Giants, and then the rest of us are all still tied. So at 3-4. So it's anybody's division at this point. We've got 2 games against the Giants coming up, and we still have 1 against the Eagles, which we're going to be looking forward to now, and then 1 against the Washington Redskins. So if we and granted, our schedule is the easiest schedule out of everybody else in the division as far as what we have left to play. So we win our games, and we win all of our games left in our division, then this game will be an aberration. That's going to be a tall order, having said that, though. So coming back, we'll dive into it. You know, it was brutal. It wasn't fun to watch, but we'll get into it next in First Down.
First Down.
Okay, so let's dive into this game, and I'll give you my initial impressions and what I've kind of come up with in regards to what happened. Because that was the thing that was getting me is as I'm watching this game, you know, live, and by live I mean on TV, not having played it back again. But as I'm watching it the first time, I just can't believe our defense is getting shredded like this. And here's the deal. If for some reason you had to get up and go to the bathroom or to get a cup of coffee, a beer, a popcorn, whatever, when you came back, it was 21-0. Like that. Lickety splits. So you're wondering, like, what's going on? I mean, this is the, you know, number one ranked defense here. Against the run, anyway. And number four defense in the league overall. This is Rob Ryan. There's no way this team can shred this defense like this. Well, it happened. So, after watching it a couple times, I have my initial impressions. And I have some keys that I think to what Philly was doing. In my opinion, anyway. So, the Dallas defense is built around stopping the run. You don't run against us. We stop you. Steven Jackson didn't get more than 70 yards. No one's gotten more. No back has gotten more than 70 yards against the Dallas Cowboys all year. So that's what we key off of. Well, they flat ran the ball over us, through us, around us. You name it, they did it. McCoy was a beast. He was out of his mind. And then you throw in a running quarterback, Michael Vick, and then, you know, this is a recipe for disaster. And so everything that I've gathered from last week, kind of the game plan that Rob Ryan went into, obviously simplifying it quite a bit, was that they wanted to stop the run and they did not want to give up the big play over the top to either Jackson or Macklin. So what they did is they shut down the top receivers. They shut down the burners. But what that did is that left the entire middle of the field completely wide open. And you toss in the fact that Rob Ryan called blitzes for the, you know, pretty much the whole first quarter. They just burned us on every single play. So, yeah, we stopped Jeremy Macklin. We stopped Jackson. They only, I think they had three catches each for less than 50 or 60 yards. But that opened up Selleck. That opened up their third receiver. And that opened up McCoy through the middle. And they gashed us on every single play. We could not stop the inside slant. Lee continuously got burned until he went out of the game with a hand injury. Lee could not figure out inside technique on these guys for whatever reason. So when he's up on the line, he's supposed to, whatever he does, not let that receiver get inside of him. And if you go back and watch the film, he just could not keep them from getting inside. And so they would do the little play over and over and over again where they just cut inside, boom, Vic hits them, and they got 10 yards every play. We could not stop that play. Selleck running down the middle of the field, boom, could not stop that play. And then once that got going, McCoy left the building, literally with the football, and ran all over the Dallas Cowboy defense. Poor tackling. We did not tackle worth a crap. Nobody tackled. There would be three or four guys touching McCoy, and nobody could bring him down. Same thing with Vic. We'd get in the backfield on Vic. And this is what Vic does. I mean, he eludes tackles anyway. But you've got to wrap up and tackle these guys. So poor tackling killed us. And then you throw on top of that our offense just could not get anything going regardless. I've got some great audio from Jason Garrett. Later on, we'll play that. And because I could go in and try and explain it, but he does a wonderful job of basically just breaking it down in a nutshell of what happened to our offense without really calling out too many people, without throwing anybody under the bus. So it was a perfect storm. You know, we ran into a buzzsaw that was the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you've caught any of the earlier shows, you know, we talked about this. This is what I liked about Michael Vick, was the guy just wins games. And these guys are game breakers. LeSean McCoy, Michael Vick, Macklin, Jackson, Selleck, even big white Selleck. These guys are game breakers. They've got a lot of talent. And that's just on the offensive side of the ball. We talked about them getting Peters back. I think he made a big difference for that team. And then Cole on the defensive line. I mean, you know, we'll talk about our offensive line later, but they didn't do Romo any favors. They couldn't stop anything. So was not pretty to watch. It was very disheartening. And you know, this is one of those things where they're going to go back and watch the film. They're going to try and learn what they can, and then they're going to get out and try and forget it, because you can't dwell on a game like this. Execution. Now, execution is a word that means the players need to get the damn job done and do your job, okay? But it sounds a little bit better when you say execution. And Garrett actually, when he uses the word, he encompasses the coaching staff in that as well. And you'll also hear the word execution come out of Rob Ryan's mouth, but he quickly backs away from it because he does not want to throw his players under the bus. That's just how Rob and Jason Garrett operate. Okay, this is a team. We go down with it, you know, everybody goes down on that ship together. But the bottom line is the guys just didn't execute. Nobody executed. If you watch Tony Romo, now granted, he was pressured on every single down, but the guy wasn't making throws. This was his worst week as far as just the accuracy of his passes. Every pass was hitting the receiver on his feet. Okay, he had a couple really nice throws, but there were several throws where, you know, he just didn't give his receivers a chance. They're either behind them or they're at their knees or at their toes. You know, these guys need to be in a position to run with the ball after they catch it. You can't, you know, if you're bent over trying to scoop one off your big toe, you're not gonna be able to have any yards after catch if you're able to even bring the ball in. So Romo had a horrible day. Now I give the majority of that to the offensive line. Did you notice that Kozar's back to hiking the ball over Romo's head? That wasn't pleasurable to watch either. You know, this was something that was supposed to get ironed out. And just, you know, we got it. This guy's got to get the ball down. We can't be hiking the ball over Romo's head, you know. And thankfully, Romo was able to bring it in each time. But he's not doing Romo any favors. Tyron Smith, pretty good game. Pretty good game. The broadcast crew pointed out the fact his footwork's a lot better. He's looking a lot better, and he's playing pretty good football. I mean, this guy is a rookie, but, I mean, he played at USC. He should know what he's doing. He's used to big-time games. Played a pretty good game. Let a couple guys get past him that hurt us a few times. Left tackle, he played all right. But we've got to get better. We've got to be able to stop this pressure. They're coming right up the middle at us. They're bulldozing us on our ends. And Romo's got nowhere to go. So Romo was feeling the pressure and wasn't delivering his passes very crisply. Crisp, crisply, I think. Is that how you say it? So he didn't give his receivers much of a chance. Miles Austin didn't catch a single pass until the third quarter, and neither did Dez Bryant. Both guys shut out first half. That makes you feel good. Your two elite wide receivers don't have a catch between them. Jason Witten had a couple, and he had a couple drops, mainly, like I said before, because he's trying to pick them off the turf. The one bright spot was DeMarco Murray. The kid's the real deal. He had 76 yards. Taking a look here. 74 yards on 8 carries. That's 9.25 average, guys. That's pretty damn good. Now, temper that because they're playing the Eagles, who give up a lot of rushing yards. But when you watch that guy play, you can tell he's a keeper. He's going to be your new starter in Dallas. Felix Jones is going to be regulated to, you know, they'll switch in and out, but DeMarco Murray should be your starter. Just the little things he does, he sees the holes better. As a season ticket holder, when I'm sitting in the stands, it's easy to see these holes, right, guys? I mean, you can see them. Felix Jones misses those holes a lot of times. Now he's not a bad back. He'll find his way around. But DeMarco Murray, when he hits the hole, he sees it and he hits it and he's gone. And unlike Felix Jones, he breaks tackles. So DeMarco Murray should be your new starter. One bright spot out of that game is he looked good. Now, just the way the game played out, that's not a running game. 9 plays into the drive, 9 plays into the Cowboys offense, we're down 21 points. Okay, you can't run the ball. You're going to have to start throwing it. And that's the perfect storm. Now you've got Philly teeing off on you. So we'll get into some audio from some of the guys coming up next in second down.
Sooner.
All right, well, back to it in second down. And we're going to listen to some interviews. We got Jerry Jones coming up first. Before we get to that, though, I want to answer some questions here. Some people emailed concerned about the dogs. The dogs did make it through Sunday's game. Okay, they're no worse for wear. The dogs have pulled through, and they're out and about again. They're done hiding. The new remote is on order. Remote not so fortunate. Didn't make it through the game, but no, I kid. The remote made it through, but it was one of those things where it's like you're so shell shocked that you really didn't have time to get that angry because you look up and you're down 21-0. So, but to answer the questions, the dogs are doing good. Like I said, they're about out and about showing their faces. So thanks for asking. So up next, here's Jerry Jones. It's his radio show, and he's talking about he got in the crosshairs this week with the Dallas media because he came across a little bit like he was not alarmed at what's going on with the Cowboys and this particular loss to the Eagles. So he's answering questions about that, and he gets a little testy. Grandpa Jerry got a little testy over the weekend.
Jerry, why were you not alarmed after the 34-7 loss against Philly?
I like the way our guys competed. I thought in the second half that we could would have a chance to come back, and I felt that Philadelphia did an outstanding job of putting pressure on us with their front four and did an outstanding job of executing all night long. So I was giving Philadelphia a lot of due, a lot of credit, still do. I am glad we're going to get to a chance to redeem ourselves and play them one more time, although it's going to be an all-day job to get out of there with a win. But all in all, I viewed it as a game that can happen to you in the NFL when these things get lopsided like that early. Then We know that you've got quite a bit of things that the other team's got to help you do. In other words, they've got to make some mistakes. They've got to put the ball on the ground. They've got to throw some interceptions. They didn't do it. The biggest thing I was looking at was just the loss. I wanted the win because of how we're competing in the division.
But, Jerry, how can you not be worried about the way you lost? You have a chance
didn't.
To...
Just didn't, man. So I explained to you for the last 10 minutes exactly how I said that I wasn't concerned. I think we'll go right back. But you have to do that. In my life, I've stuck my head in the sand and not recognized and dwelled on the situation, because if you do, you'll become the situation. So it's time that I just want us to move on past this one.
Okay, so there's Jerry. Like I said, getting a little testy with the guys there at the end of the interview. But you know, I mean, we can't expect this guy to just set his hair on fire and run around the parking lot. But I think some people just wanted to see a little bit more frustration out of Jerry than what he's showing. But I can guarantee you that he was in a meeting with Jason Garrett. And let it be known, hey, we don't lose like that to the Eagles. Not here. We don't want to go back to that kind of, that's the kind of stuff Wade Phillips did. Wade Phillips isn't here anymore. So, he got a little cranky there at the end. Coming up next, now this is something that we haven't had a chance to talk about, so I'm glad we're going to get a chance to, because this is, I alluded to this a couple shows back. Listen. Tashard Choice would have been traded or cut a long time ago if Felix Jones hadn't have been hurt. So it came as no surprise, no shock at all, that they bounced his ass. The only bad thing is that he got picked up by the Redskins. So he's going to be in our division still, but maybe he'll get a chance. I hope the best for him. He's a good kid, but just wasn't making it happen as a Cowboy. So here's Jerry Jones talking a little bit about Tashard Choice.
Well, I think that Tashard has shown for us that he was a good running back, but when we looked at where our numbers were and we looked at the player, we were concerned a little because of Felix's injury, and should be, but by the same token, when we looked at where we were right now with Murray and with Tanner, Murray was able to and did do a good job the other night, although he didn't have the occasion to do the pass blocking and protection that he will with some other teams, because these guys played it pretty plain vanilla with just a four-man rush up there. So I think Murray will do the good job, another way of saying this.
Okay, so basically wishing him well. Not gonna talk ill of the dead. But Tashard Choice, hasta la vista, baby. Because DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones, and then you throw in Tanner Burnett. That kid's pretty good, too, and he hadn't even really been able to show us what he's got. But he played so well in training camp, they couldn't make themselves cut the kid. So he's in there. He'll more than make up for the loss of Tashard Choice. All right, so... this next piece is Rob Ryan got a lot of flack, because here's the deal. If you talk a big game, you have to back it up. And unfortunately, Rob Ryan could not back up all the bulletin board material that he gave the Eagles. And going back to training camp where he said, we're going to kick their ass. We're going to kick the Eagles' ass. That's what he said. And then he kind of got in a war of words with DeSean Jackson. So this is Jerry talking about bulletin board material and if it actually even makes a difference to a team.
Never seen that make any difference in a ball game. I think it's great for Banner. I think it is real good to have there. But at the end of the day, How you do your job as an offensive lineman, or how you do your job as a safety, that talk or banner talk on that board, I've never seen it impact anything.
Okay, and I kind of agree with that. I don't think it provides much. I mean, yeah, these guys get fired up, and I mean, you see them before every game. They always show the overhead shot of all the guys huddled up and victory on three, guys. They're all fired up, and Drew Brees was pretty fired up this weekend, you know, slapping his helmet and getting his guys fired up, getting them motivated. Well, he motivated them so much that they went out and laid an egg against the St. Louis Rams. So, you know, motivation plays a key. Like my old man used to say, people get really motivated, and they're motivated up until the point until you punch them in the face. And then it's not so motivating. And that's what happened to the Cowboys. You know, they came out and got hit in the face.
In the face!
It was not pretty. So, you know, I don't think the bulletin board material from Rob Ryan had anything to do with it. Of course, it, you know, the media loves it because now they can really get on the guy. And so we're going to play his audio next. Great piece. And once again, I apologize. We do have a lot of audio this week, but it's just because my voice is so crazy. I'm having to cough every other sentence. So we'll play some. I'm going to actually play the entire interview, post-game interview with Rob Ryan. It's great. First of all, let me just say I love the guy. Okay? Hair, everything. I love it. I wish they would have played better. And he basically, he falls on his blade for this one. He falls on his sword for the defense on this one. So let's take a listen. Rob Ryan, post game on Sunday.
I mean, the whole thing is, you know, I got out coached by Reed and, you know, their staff. I mean, it's ridiculous. I never gave our guys a chance. The whole thing was on me. You know, so if I give them any extra motivation, well, I certainly never backed it up. I gave our guys a lousy plan. We had no chance, and it's all on me. Defensive staff did a damn good job. I just had a terrible game plan. I called a terrible game.
What was bad about the game plan?
I mean, we just everything we had seen on tape. You know, hell, we didn't execute my calls. You know what? It was a lousy plan, guys. I mean, any way you look at it, I got out coached, out of everything. So it was all on me. No, it's just terrible game plan. I never give our guys a chance. We got killed by the flash play over and over and over. Did a lousy job of adjusting to it. It was all my fault. I mean, never give our guys a chance.
Were you prepared for their speed?
Do you feel like? I mean, our guys are fine. I mean, matchup, they're okay. It's just in those matchups, it was just a lousy plan. You know, we get beat on a max pressure. We got nobody in a C gap. It is embarrassing. And hell, that's the way it is. I mean, that's a fact. So spend it any way we want is unfortunate. It's embarrassing to the organization. It's all on me.
Back to the motivation thing. You're a guy who likes to have fun with that kind of stuff. Will you rethink?
What do you mean?
Comments like you made in training camp and then the fun you had with it this week at the ranch. I mean, is it something you will rethink?
Yeah, I mean, I got my ass kicked. It's not the first time that I've may have said something and got my ass kicked, but if I don't say anything that I don't really believe. So, you know, I'm sure, hopefully it won't be, hopefully it'll be the last time it ever happens. But, whatever happened, hell, it's all my fault.
What thought does it leave you with your defense going forward now? Is this
going to
be?
Oh, we're going forward. I mean, hell, you got to give them a chance. I mean, honest to God, hell, our defensive staff did a great job. You know, they're telling me during the game they were doing a great job. I think I got, I was too aggressive early. And it killed us, and then we're out of the game, and then you're scrambling the rest of the game to even be competitive. And, again, it all comes down to coaching. Andy Reid, was reading my mail. He kicked my ass, and I just got to go back and work harder. I got to be smarter in this. I mean, it's all it comes down to.
Rob, nobody had run the ball all year. You go for over 200 yards. Why were they able to run the ball
down the throat? Well, Grant, I mean, our fits haven't been, they weren't excellent this week, obviously, and we got exposed with it. That's a hell of a back back there. I mean, the guy, he's coming out every angle there is known to man. I mean, the guy's a hell, a special player. And, we got to be excellent on our run fits. We weren't. And, again, that comes down to my calls, not putting us in a good situation. And, hell, it pisses me off, but it's true.
Do you remember getting your A kicked this badly?
Oh, hell yeah. I've had my ass kicked. Coffeyville Junior College. I don't know what the hell that was. That was the worst thing I've ever seen. And then, you know, Jacksonville kicked my ass even worse than this. So, I mean, we'll bounce back. Hell, I ain't quitting. I mean, I'm going to fight a little harder. I'm going to call a better game. I mean, it's, you know, it's embarrassing to stand up and be counted, but that's the way it is. I call it a crappy game. We, you know, had no chance to execute, and it's, I mean, that's the way it is.
Did you have a chance to talk to the defense? Is that for later or to address
I mean,
them?
You know, well, we talked to them, and, you know, we tried to make some halftime adjustments to slow them down, but, you know, again, it's one game. We never lost, you know, 15 of them here. We lost that one, and, you know, do we want to win it? Hell yeah, but, again, it comes down to preparation, and I got beat by Andy Reid. It's ridiculous.
And he did get beat by Andy Reid, no doubt. No doubt about it. But I played that whole interview just because, you know, very refreshing. I mean, this guy and those spaces that you hear, that was a network bleeping him out. Okay? They let a few in, but some of the 12-letter word kinds, they don't let through. So, anyway, he... you know, pretty candid there. And like I said, he fell on his blade for those guys. And you heard him talk a little bit about execution in there, and he backed off of it real quick. And that just goes back to what I was saying earlier. The guys didn't play. They didn't tackle. They didn't run the right technique. They got burned over and over and over again by the same plays. And so, really, they have no answers at that point. So they're going to go back and look at it and try and figure it out, but no answers. So very interesting. It was interesting to just kind of listen to him process everything that happened to him on Sunday. But, okay, here is coming up next. We're going to listen to Coach Garrett, and he gives a pretty good explanation about what happened on Sunday, and I'm going to play this, and it's not quite as long as that last clip, but I think it's about a minute or so, but you get a good look into how Jason Garrett processes information, and he's very good at bringing that information across to you in a very easy to understand way. And, you know, that's why he's a Princeton grad, I guess. So here's Jason Garrett.
Last night's game was a great example of having to play well, play in and play out. If you look at what happened in the ball game, you know, they scored on the first drive. We had a couple good plays to start our next drive after getting favorable field position. Then we had a penalty. Then we had a sack. We were really behind the chains in that first drive. The next drive, they scored another touchdown, so now we're down 14. We're six plays into the game on offense. We have a long run on the first play. We have a plus 2 yard run on the second play. And then we throw an interception on the third play where we really had an opportunity to make a big play. And somehow the ball comes out and they make a play. So then the next time we get the ball back, we're down 21-0 and we're nine plays into it. So the point I'm trying to make is the opportunities become limited in a game like that. You have to take advantage of every one of them. That nondescript play, that third play of the game, that doesn't seem like anything, that's never going to be on SportsCenter, is an important play in the game because it impacts the fourth play and the fifth play and the sixth play and ultimately impacts the first opportunity you have when you get the ball, that first possession. And similarly, in the second drive, an opportunity to make a big play that bounces off of somebody and they make a big play. That's our second opportunity. That's our second possession of about eight or nine in a ball game that we let go by the wayside, and now they're up three scores. So then you get into what happens next. It's hard to play against that team if you get too much into a passing mode. They're awfully good up front rushing the passer. Where we felt like we had a little bit of a strength was to be able to run the ball at them, but then you play a game like that where you play from behind and you got to compete a little bit to stay in the game, you're playing into their hands a little bit. So I think that when you put all that together, pressure on the quarterback in passing type situations, allowing them to play coverage, it becomes a little bit more difficult. The opportunities were limited. I think we had the ball for less than 20 minutes in the ball game. We had about 50 plays in the ball game. That's not a lot of plays. And a lot of those plays were after we were way down in the game. So you put all that stuff together, opportunities get limited for individual guys, and you make their job a little bit easier because you come a little bit more one-dimensional.
Okay, so great job by Jason Garrett there, kind of explaining what happened. And that's exactly it. I mean, like I stated at the beginning of the show, you know, you get up for a cup of coffee, and we're down 21 points. I mean, you know, you can't go three and out, which we didn't go three and out. But third play of that game, you know, we got to get that first down. We're 2 yards short. So then, you know, you have no answer. And then there was some audio. I just don't have time to put everything in the show that I wanted to this week, or the show would be an hour, you know, hour and a half long. But he got some great questions about his offensive line. He got good questions about DeMarco Murray. He got some good questions about Martellus Bennett. And you did hear him, and I didn't include one of the clips that I had, but they asked him about Martellus. And Martellus's days have got to be numbered in Dallas. This is a guy that has underperformed every year he's been with the Cowboys. Now, he is an Aggie. So there you have it. That explains some of it. But the problem is that, you know, the guy says, oh, I didn't see the ball. You know, he's like, I didn't see the ball. Well, you know, you pop the damn thing straight up in the air to Nnamdi, you idiot. Catch the ball. That's what Jason Garrett was basically wanting to say, is like, you know, we have a chance for a big play right there. A big play. He should have makes the catch. You know, he should make that. But instead, he just tosses it up in the air to probably one of the better corners in the league, you know. So, you know, and if we get that, that's a big play. If we get that play, you know, we probably go in for the score there shortly after that. You know, and it gives us a little motivation. And it opens things up. But when you're down 24 to nothing. I mean, your options are limited. You can't run the ball, you know, here and there, but that ship has sailed. So, you know, just not a lot of, you know, and that's what he's basically saying. Look, the game, you know, the game plan changed. And he kind of did it without throwing Rob Ryan under the bus. But the bottom line is, 9 plays into their offense, they're down 21 points. What do you want me to do? What can we do? Guys aren't executing on defense, and the offense is overwhelmed now because, you know, the Eagles are going balls out. All right, last audio clip, Marcus Spears, and he's like, man, it's like we weren't even out there, bro.
Oh, man, I mean, you got to take your hats off to them. The guys, they did a great job. They made plays. I mean, they moved the ball on us like we wasn't even out there, so... I mean, we just got to take responsibility for that. That's not the way we're going to play defense the rest of the way. I'm confident of that. So we just got to move on from it.
Based on how you have played defense the first game of the season, just kind of a shock to you guys?
Yeah, it is. I don't think if anybody expected this, they probably in the wrong business, you know. So we just got to, you know, we got to evaluate it, obviously. And just like we do the wins, man, watch the tape, get better from it. And move on to the next one.
Did you think that any team or any group of players can make you guys, judging by what you've done this year, look like that on defense?
I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, I think if you ever get to making those statements, you're getting a little complacent because these guys are pros too, and they have a hell of a football team, and you know what kind of guys they have. They have game breakers, and they showed up today, and we wasn't able to contain anything. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that because obviously every team that plays these guys, you pay attention to 7, you pay attention to 25, and those receivers are game breakers. They have a lot of talent on offense, And our problem was that we didn't get any one of them contained tonight. So I think you just got to, you know, you just got to take this one on the chin and realize that you got knocked down but not out, and move on to the next week.
All right, he's exactly right. You got to move on the next week. We have the Seattle Seahawks coming up. And, you know, that's a game you kind of want to look past. Oh, they're the Seahawks. We'll destroy them at home. Not now. Not coming off that kind of loss. So we got to come back. We got to concentrate on the Sea Chickens. We got to take care of business and get them, you know, put them in the grave and bounce back. A win next week will go a long way. So recapping, I want to just look at some statistics, some numbers from this game. Mike Vick, 21 for 28, 279 and two touchdowns. Had 50 yards on the ground. Pretty nice day for Michael Vick. Here's the big one, though. McCoy, 30 attempts, 185 yards, two touchdowns. And he also had 15 yards receiving. Now, if you look at their playmakers, other than McCoy, you know, Macklin and Jackson, we contain those guys. DeSean Jackson had three catches, and Macklin had three catches. Macklin was 3 of 54, and Jackson was 3 for 31. So we shut down their outside guys. We just couldn't shut down anything else because, boom, Celek, 7 receptions, 94 yards, and a touchdown. He burned us the whole game. On the flip side, Tony Romo, 18 for 35, 203 yards, one touchdown, one interception. You can give the INT to Martellus Bennett. Go Aggies. Laurent Robinson, that guy's a playmaker. He's stepping up. They wanted to shut down Dez Bryant, shut down Austin Miles, or Miles Austin, excuse me. That's all right. 5 at 103 and one touchdown. He had a 70-yarder. Of course, that's, you know, those are empty net numbers. I mean, this was late in the game, but Laurent Robinson has been a nice surprise. But the one I really want to look at, the one that's alarming and just jumps right off the page, is the time of possession. Eagles, 42 minutes and 9 seconds. Dallas Cowboys, 17 minutes and 51 seconds. You can't win ball games that way. Not in the NFL. Not really in too many leagues, but definitely not in the NFL. So all in all, not one of the Cowboys' better days. But we move forward. We're going to, look forward to the Seattle Seahawks and get back on track. So that's what we have to do. That's what the Dallas Cowboys need to do anyway. Get in the film room, look at it, decipher it, and then move on. Look forward to the Seahawks and getting a win. And if we get a win on Sunday, we're right back in it. Believe me, guys. 2 weeks ago, we were burying the Eagles, right? Everybody thought, oh, the dream team's a nightmare. Well, guess what? That nightmare just became the Dallas Cowboys reality. So this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. The Dallas Cowboys are a solid, fundamental, pretty good football team. Will they get over the hump? I don't know. But they'll have every opportunity. We've got Seattle and then Buffalo. Buffalo should be a good matchup for us. That'll be another good test. Hopefully we'll be coming off a convincing win off the Seahawks. We win those two games, bada boom, we're right back in it. The division's nowhere out of reach as of yet. The Giants have a horrible schedule. If they win out of that schedule, they're a damn good football team because their schedule is brutal. So that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for putting up with the crazy voice, the scratching, the coughing, all that stuff. Hopefully we'll be off the IR next week. But actually, we'll be back. We'll have another show up on Friday looking at the preview show for the Seattle Seahawks games. Keep your head up, guys. Let's go, Cowboys. And thanks for listening. This has been America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast. And as always, I'm Joe Bandy. Thank you.
You've been listening to America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast. No one ever liked me because I wasn't